Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
That man murdered my husband.
I want something. I take it.
He will take everything we have.
So you seek revenge?
I seek righteousness. But I'll take revenge.
I need more than a few to help us fight.
What a bunch of misfits we are.
You know how to shoot that thing?
I'm good.
So am I.
He's local, my friend.
Oh, we're good. We got a Mexican.
I sense we are bonding.
Chrome.
We got seven.
He's got an army.
And they'll be murdered
by the world's greatest lover.
Why are you here? Fighting someone else's fight.
These people deserve their lives back.
Just make sure we're fighting the battle in front of us, not the battle behind.
Every man got the right to choose where he dies.
We have nowhere else to go, so.
That's the trailer to the remake of the movie The Magnificent Seven. Some consider that sacrilege to remake that movie, but it's made with a magnificent star power and probably will be one of those, well, pre-holiday movies that people go to see for fun. What does it say about male relationships, camaraderie, companionship, even bromance? Here in America in the 21st century, we're going to look at the movie The Magnificent Seven here in this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Chris Hull will be our guest then. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith joins us for our regular weekly feature this week in Pop American Christianity. Televangelists are pulling out the old Jewish calendar. They've got all sorts of fall festivals celebrated by the Old Testament Jews. And they're repackaging them to fleece their viewers. We'll get a few examples of that in This Week in Pop American Christianity. Feel free to join us with a question or a comment live this Friday afternoon, September the 30th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Chris Hull joins us to review the movie The Magnificent Seven. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas, and author of a column for The Federalist titled The Men of the Magnificent Seven Turn Bromance into Love. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Todd. Good to be back.
You saw the movie. What struck you after seeing it about kind of the state of male relationships in the United States here at the beginning of the 21st century?
Well, when we walked out, my wife and I were talking, and we said, you know, these men in this movie had this closeness to them. And it was amazing how we both believed that our society would twist these relationships. They would say, oh, you know, back then they couldn't admit it, but some of these men probably would have been lovers. They would have had more than just a friendship. They would have been intimate with each other. Because men having that intimacy, that love for each other, is just very foreign to our culture today. Men are either just mildly friends. I make the point at the beginning of the article that men are either in love or they have something called a bromance. And that's what would be twisted in this movie, either one of those views of man.
What's a bromance?
Bromance is fun. The greatest example I give in the article is the show How I Met Your Mother, which is off the air now, but you can see reruns of it. And a bromance is really two guys just out to have fun times, to enjoy each other's company, and basically to amuse one another. It's two men or a couple men getting together, hanging out and doing things, you know, their wife wouldn't want to do. for example, in the show How I Met Your Mother, it's two guys going to brunch together, and brunch is redonkulous, and these type of things. But the bromance, it's about having fun. It's about having a good time. It's never really about how can I live my life in service for this other individual? How can I actually have that real fraternal love for this other man? Not an intimate one like I would with my wife, but a love that I can have for this other man. That's a bromance is just out to get your jollies, have a fun time.
What's the difference between that and you talk about camaraderie?
When we look at camaraderie, if you look at this movie, you see all these men that they this friendship together at the beginning out of maybe selfish things. They either want money or fame or revenge even. But as the movie goes on, they start bearing the burdens of this town they're defending and bearing each other's burdens, actually making sacrifices for each other. And inevitably, at the end of the movie, making sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, which is giving your life. Camaraderie is formed out of you creating a bond together when you're facing a greater foe. You're facing a struggle, a trial together. An example I give in the article is men going to war. They're forming this bond together because they're facing an adversary. And it's in that sacrificial living, this true friendship and love is created, that you can then have a fun time together, enjoy each other's company. But it's formed not under the pretense of amusement, but it's formed in the fires of trial and sacrifice.
I've been reading a book about the formation of the Special Forces Delta Force and the very first class that went through. And it's full of that kind of thing where through the hardship of the selection process, practically impossible physical feats that were required of them, and then through the rigor of the training and then the danger that they faced together when they would deploy, they developed this kind of bond with one another, not just of the experience, but of true brotherhood.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yes. And the best thing about camaraderie is it lasts because it's formed not because you are having fun or because your emotions, you're feeling happy. It's because you've gone through a terrible experience together. You've gone through a trial. You've suffered together. So then your relationship can withstand anything. Whereas with modern bromances or modern friendships, or even modern marriages, the moment it's not fun anymore, you're not happy anymore, you just abandon it. You leave it because it's not serving you. And that's what we need to get back again, is that sacrificial living. And that's what you get in the camaraderie and that companionship formed in facing possibly the end, knowing I could give up everything for this person and for others around me.
When this stops being a feature of male relationships in society, when it's reduced to mere bromance, just, you know, casual acquaintances or even people you spend a lot of time with, where the goal is simply to divert each other's attention to amuse and entertain, and we are without those kind of deep relationships that are formed that I think are hardwired into men that are born of the hardship and the challenge of the fight that is faced together, what happens to our society on a larger scale when that's missing?
We kill the inconvenient. You just talked about that on the show, right? we get rid of that which burdens us. If someone is not satisfying me, then I will sacrifice it. Rather than sacrifice myself, I sacrifice it, be it my spouse, be it my friends, be it infants in the womb, be it elderly, whoever it is, because I am not living for one outside of myself. This article I wrote, it's not a blatantly Christian one. It's not like I'm quoting scriptures throughout it. However, we do understand our life as the baptized is lives of sacrificial living for our neighbor. That's what we do. That's what we're given to do. We're not given to what makes me happy. It's how can I love my neighbor? In what ways has God given me to love my neighbor? When we lose that camaraderie, that living for the other, we start devouring each other, as St. Paul says in Galatians. We start just eating each other up.
You talk about, you use the term fraternal love, but it really is brotherly love, which is something that, well, gee, Chris, there's a sense in which our nation, at least at its beginning, was founded on that concept.
Oh, yes. It is founded on brotherly love. I make that point as one of the greatest examples of camaraderie is our founding fathers. They drank their punch in the taverns. They bore burdens together. John Adams, Jefferson, Washington, Franklin, Samuel Adams, all of these men risking their lives and signing the Declaration of Independence. You're basically saying we're either going to win or we're going to hang, one or the other. But one of them's going to happen. And we're going to do this. In the end, it's men just being men, having real love for all those around them, living a life of sacrifice, being Christ for your neighbor, being Christ for all around you. That's what we're given to do. And the point of my article is man up a little bit. But not man up a little bit. Bromance needs to die in order that camaraderie and true manhood can live. And in that, we have true service and sacrifice for our neighbor.
You do, you're right, it's not overtly Christian. It's not a sermon, so to speak. You do allude to a passage, a great passage from the lips of our Lord and Master. Greater love has no man. What did Christ mean in his utterance of that? And what does that mean for us as men?
Christ lays down his life, and who are his friends is creation. He lays down his life for the world. And he says that no one takes it from me. I lay it down myself. I'm not forced to do this. I'm doing it because I love you. And that is what men do. We sacrifice our time. We sacrifice our lives for those that God has placed into our lives to love. And you can say, well, that's frustrating. No, it is not, because my flesh, my soul, my body has been claimed by Christ in the waters of holy baptism. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And Christ lays down his life for his neighbor. And that is the love I give to all. And that is what inevitably pastors must do. That is what Christian men must do. And we like laying down our lives when it's convenient for us or when there's something in it for us. But Christ didn't lay down his life because we were going to love him or we were going to appreciate him. He did it because he is a merciful God. Therefore, man sacrifices for his neighbor because he loves, and because he is merciful, and because he is the one God has placed in that station to lay down his life. It's beautiful stuff when you really live it. you can say, I love you, to another man. It's not a homosexual thing. It's not a bromance. It's actual love. It's me saying, I love you so much that I will lay down my life for you. Even if you irritate me, I will do it. And that's what we're given to do.
And taking it out of the context or perhaps applying it more broadly, then, is this what manhood in 21st century America really needs?
It's exactly what we need, because when you look at Ephesians 5, the majority of that text is what a man does for his wife. Not the other way around, but how do we take it? Why don't we read it at weddings? Well, because it says the wife submits. Well, keep listening, please. Look at what your husband is given to do for you. His life is now yours. His life is meant for you. His life is meant for his children. His life is meant for his community. His life is meant for his church. And what I mean by community and church is he's placed in a certain area to live not for himself, but for others. That's that hymn in our hymnal, No Saint Lives for Self Alone, something of that nature. I can't remember the title of it. But that is what we need today. That is what we need to fight those who kill babies in the womb. That's what we need for those who kill the elderly. That's what we need for those who take what is right, moral, and ethical and just desecrate it. We need real men to be truly sacrificial to protect, defend, and lead and feed our everyone around them.
Pastor Chris Hull is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas. He's authored a column for The Federalist titled The Men of the Magnificent Seven Turn Bromance into Love. You can read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Chris, keep up the good work, and thanks for being our guest.
You as well. The devil hates your guts, where it's fun times.
Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to be doing our regular weekly feature, This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's got some examples of televangelists using Jewish fall festivals, going back to the Jewish calendar, to fleece their viewers. We'll find out what he's talking about right after this.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.